Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Proud of everybody. I actually wanted to share this picture, and I was praying for someone who was going through an incredible season of growth, and I saw this picture as I was praying for them. But I'm realizing I'm talking to so many people every week now about that are just going after things and saying yes and being courageous, and they are growing like crazy. That I just want to release this over you because I feel like God is revealing stuff inside of us, and things are being revealed that had been there. Maybe you're been aware of what's there, and maybe you have not been aware. But as you grow and say yes and are being activated, there are things being revealed that you've been waiting for. And there's a picture of a crepe myrtle on the screen. Crepe myrtles in Northern California are beautiful. Crepe myrtles here are beautiful, but there's something very different. Here, they're like ginormous trees. There, they're just like really cute, like smaller shrubbish trees. And so we moved here and planted a crepe myrtle. And one thing I noticed though, when I'm looking around town, all the crepe myrtles have this like really beautiful, smooth bark. Looks like madrone or something. It's just really stunning. And we planted crepe myrtles, and in the first year, 2 years, their bark was just, it was more rigidy and it wasn't smooth. And I was like, I wonder what variety I got, because I wanted the ones I see around town. But I'm like, oh, well, I guess we got what you got, you know, and just thank you, Lord, for the crepe myrtle. It was still beautiful, but the bark was so different. And then this year, year two, once summer started, the little cracks started happening on the bark, and I was like, oh no, did my crepe myrtle get a disease? It's starting to crack, and the bark is starting to come off. But then after a couple days passed and a week passed, I started to see this smooth bark underneath. And I'm like, oh, it means it's growing. I got one of the cool crepe myrtles that has the smooth bark underneath it. And so now, like the picture to the right, our crepe myrtles has the bark coming off, and this beautiful smooth bark is being revealed. And it's part of the growing process. And as I talk to people, as I talk to Evan stepping into youth and Joelle and so many of you, I'm just seeing stuff coming off. That's who you are inside being revealed as you give. And so I just want to bless your growth. And there's stuff that you're wondering, when is this going to happen? Don't worry, you just grow and it will be revealed in the right time. On the other side too, I've seen there's some people that I know have stepped out into situations. And we were talking to a man, and he stepped out and is joining a new community. And he was having a hard time of getting triggered. And as we were talking, asking him questions, he was discouraged. He goes, I thought I was already healed. Why is this so hard for me? And it's like, oh, wait, part of us being on the journey of saying yes to God is stuff is being revealed, and you're on the journey to healing. And yes, you have healed, but there's more healing. And so we just thank God for the journey right now. And so I just bless you right now, wherever you're at on the journey, I bless your growth and your yes to the Lord. Your yes is so powerful. I believe your yes is getting even weightier. It's weightier, and there's things that you're longing for, and you just say yes to the Lord, and He will take care of the rest. Whether you need more healing, whether there's things being revealed of the beauty of God inside of you as well. So I just thank you, God, for every person in this room. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. There is an opportunity, an invitation right now in my life, in your life, in our community. And the invitation is, will you go deeper? Will you keep coming? Eric's been talking a lot, sharing really beautiful teachings that are foundational for our community, a lot of theology. And I would say there's a big difference. It's important for us to know, but it's also important for us to experience when we're talking truth and the word. And I get concerned when I know we have a choice. We always have a choice what we're going to partner with. But when we're walking out and following God, are we just going to follow Him and know Him, or are we willing to step in closer and let Him walk with us on this journey? And walking with Him and us with Him means we're willing to receive what he's pouring out and receive what he's providing. Because we can come to church all day long and sing the songs, but it's another thing to go, actually, no, I'm not just singing the song. This is the fragrance of my life right now. Here I am, and I want to worship you in every space of my life, not just the spaces where I let other people see. So church, let's just keep going. Let's go deeper. I think about who I want to be in life and even what God's doing in us. And my heart is that we would be some of the wholest, healthiest people on the planet. That if we're full of his spirit, we're on this journey of continuing growing and shedding our bark, that we would be some of the healthiest people on the planet. But I know that that is part of the journey and the choice. There is this quote from a psychologist, and she says, pay attention to your patterns. The way you learned to survive may not be the way you want to continue to live. Heal and shift. Thought, oh, Lord, let us always be fast to come to you, to surrender, to grow, and not just get used to what we've known. Because I know that God has so much more for us. And the question I have is, what would we look like if we were more whole and more healed? More loved, more full of hope. What would you do differently? If you were more loved, you had more belief in who the Lord is, but also who he's created you to be. One of my favorite things is seeing people who've been married for a long time. I've seen women that they were kind of spicy, but more than spicy, had little pokey things on them. Like if you touched them in the right or the wrong spot, you're like, ooh, watch out. And then after seeing them years being loved and being chosen and being delighted in, I would say after years, like, whoa, stuff's gotten rounded off on you and more beautiful. Like, that's what my hope and heart is that we don't just know God, but we experience his love. And his love continues to transform us and heal us as we know him and experience him. Psalms 36. David is one of my heroes. I love the way he knows the Lord. But in Psalms 36, I'm encouraged and challenged by some of the words of engagement that is in these scriptures. Verse 5 says, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies, your righteousness like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And this is when it begins to change. The first part is about information about God and who he is, which is important. Now, these are all engaging words. We take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them a drink from the rivers of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. I don't want to just go through life and just do the things. I want to be a person and be people who know how to feast, who know how to take in and receive what God's already provided. He's already paid for our healing. He paid for our peace, for our redemption, our reconciliation. And we're still on this journey. And I know there's tension in that. But when we come into his presence, I'm like, oh, Lord, let us take everything in. Let us be shaped and formed by your love and delight so that we're changed and that we can overflow to the people on us. I feel like there's an invitation to experience more of God's delight and abundance, not just know it, but like, what's it like to experience more of delight? We were created to live in delight. Do you guys know that? We're created for connection, but connection really is about knowing what delight is. Do you know how it feels to be delighted in? If you don't, one of my most recent examples is Mark and Kennedy got the little cutest little Cavapoo dog. He's 10 pounds, or she's 10 pounds, and she is the most excited. Like, you, when you see her, she makes you feel like you're the best person in the whole wide world that she's been waiting for, and she makes little cooing sounds. She wiggles her body, and she just comes running with a smile on her face, and you just hug her, and there is pure delight in holding Winnie. If you need someone just to feel, if you need to feel delighted in, let me know and I can introduce you to my grand dog, Winnie. But it's important for us to know delight. And I want you to even think about for a moment for you where you have experienced this in your life. And I think it can come in all shapes and forms and from all different places. But do you know what it feels like to be delighted in by God? Like what his love feels like and his choosing feels like. And it really comes in that space when it goes beyond just for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But like, even if it was only for you, Candace, I would die for you. Like when his love gets real and then you let it just kind of soak inside of you and you start to just beyond meditating, just receiving his love and his joy and delight. And it's really when we start just receiving what he's provided for us already. Thank you, God, for your love. I wanted to share one of the journeys, the biggest journeys I've been through as I'm walking with God and I'm giving him everything. At a young age, I knew that I wanted to go to the nations. I love people. I love culture. I went to YWAM right after high school. I'm 18 years old. I spent 6 months down there. Just had a life-changing time and loved every part of it enough to where I thought, gosh, I just want to give the rest of my life to this. And I remember as an 18-year-old flying back to California, and I flew up Central America, and the sun was rising, and I'm a window seater, sitter on an airplane. I don't know if you're aisle or window. I'm window because I just open the window, and I just love it when I can see the land. And I remember seeing the landscape, looking at Panama, looking at El Salvador, Costa Rica, went up the whole Central America, and I thought, Lord, thank you so much for who you are in this land. I love your heart and I love who you are in Latin people. And I know I'm gonna come and I'm gonna dance all over these countries with you. And so I go to college, I meet Eric, and we decided we were gonna get married and we were gonna move to Mexico. But right before we got married, we decided to change decisions and change options, and we went to Redding instead. Redding and Mexico are very different places. I don't know if you've ever been to Northern California, the city called Redding. It is really beautiful, but it is very white. There's not a lot of culture. And this is a long time ago. So you guys have saw it in its glory days, you know. And this is 95, Eric and I get married. And I'm in Redding. And I remember one of the biggest things for me to reconcile was my heart for God. And then how do you hold this tension and love for something, and he puts you in the place that just seems like the opposite of what he's given you. Have you guys ever been in spots like that? And you're like, okay, I trust you. And it's one thing to trust him, and then you get to walk in this place. And now I'm here, and I am me, and what are we doing, Lord? And so I'm in Reading, and there was like a 3-month cycle that would happen. And I would start out like, I'm encouraged, I got this. And then it would be like Eric mentioned, Reading could get like 100 degrees, 105, 110, 115. I'm from the coast of Northern California. It's like an average of like 50, 60 degrees. Reading is usually 40 to 50 degrees higher than that. And so it's a big adjustment. And I'd be doing good, but then it'd get hot. Then it would just be like, go out and be like, I haven't heard anyone speak another language in so long. God, why would you give me this heart and put me here? You know, when things in your life just don't match up yet, you're like, I do not know. And I share this to say, sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to hold on to and what we're supposed to let go. But there, I feel like there's an invitation to surrender before the Lord right now. And in this season, that's what I got to do is, Lord, I trust you and I want to own what you give me, what's in my heart. But you've put me here, and I'm going to trust you, so therefore I have to surrender this right now to you. And it was a lot of dying to self, dying to even good things. That's the weird thing in the Lord. Sometimes in seasons, we have to die to things that are good, or they're even dreams, but it's not for yet, and I couldn't figure out why. But if I trust him, that I'm going to not just surrender, that's the thing, we can't stop there, but it's surrender, and I want to know who you are in this place. When he says that we get to feast on the abundance of his house, can you even feast in a place of surrender? I say this because I know many of you are in places where you haven't figured it out yet. And we're all, like, you're actually in a place right now and you're like, I did not think it was going to look like this. Ah, what an awesome invitation, opportunity to surrender and to know you in this space. What's crazy, and I'm going to wrap it here in just a moment. What's crazy in this story with Redding is I didn't know, this is the kind of embarrassing and funny part, because I would ask God, I would say, Lord, why would you give me this heart and place me here? I know you're not cruel, but this does not seem like a very funny joke, you know? And And then what would happen in the years to come is they started a school of ministry. Bill wrote books and people started coming from all over the world, from all different nations. They were coming to this little white town called Redding, California. But I didn't know that when I moved there. So I had to live there a few years before that happened. But it was crazy, the opportunity that I got to just surrender before God and to trust him. And what's funny is if you were to ask me when I was 18 after doing YWAM, and I even interned with some missionaries in El Salvador when I was in college, and I thought my dream was if I could go and be a missionary somewhere or maybe work at a school or start a church or do something. And the Lord let me get into deep relationship with ministers and leaders from all over the world. And then guess what we got to do? We got to go, and they weren't just people. They were people who trusted us and loved us, and we got to invest in them at the deepest levels. I would never even think about that when God put nations on my heart. And so I love God and trust him so much, but I want to this morning encourage us that no matter where we're at on this journey of holding intention often is the things that he's put on our heart, but also what we're having to navigate right now. And I just want to speak to you, if you're in a space where you're navigating something challenging, that the Lord is a provider. It's his nature. From the beginning, even in Genesis, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said the garden was full of all these trees. It said it was pleasing to the eye, and it was all good for food. And he said you could have any of this, of these, except for there was only one that they couldn't. And so in that, when he says any, that he's a God of extravagance. You can see through the Bible, through so many different scriptures, the abundance of his house means all. But it's interesting, in that scenario, when the serpent came, the serpent's first question was to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Do you know what the serpent and what Satan actually usually highlights? What you cannot have. What you cannot have, lack. Do you know what he's the father of? He's the father of lack. God is the father of provision. And so I love for us to know when we're in situations and we're navigating, who are we listening to? What are you most aware of? And if you're in a situation right now where you're just knowing where there isn't something, I'd be careful who we're listening to. Because what I know about the Lord is that he is a provider. I love Psalms 23, and it talks about him being the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. This is who he is. So if you have lack in any area of your life, I would propose that we're believing a lie somewhere or we're missing something. And I'm saying this because we are people of faith and we're growing and our bark is coming off, but we have to step up and lean in and to know who he is, but to receive what he's providing, because he is always providing. Continuing in Psalms 23, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He is a good shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. And here's the thing, when you are the sheep, you might not want to be by quiet waters. You might want to be on a mountaintop, but sometimes that's not our choice. What our choice is who we're going to listen to and who we're going to follow. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can see I put in yellow. All the scriptures are in there in truth of what he has provided for us. He's our shepherd. We do not lack. He prepares a table before us. The problem that I see is often we don't like what's on that table. We'd rather have someone else's table, or we wanted different food. But the truth is he provided. And there's something about gratitude in this place. When we have gratitude, it helps us to eat what he puts in front of us. So my prayer for us is that he would give us an appetite for what he's providing for us. And that we would know what it feels like to overflow, even in the space of, I don't know exactly what he's doing just yet, because we don't have to know everything because we're not God. But we all just need to follow him. Why don't you stand? Gratitude is so powerful that it actually changes our brain chemistry. It says, when we express gratitude, our brain releases dopamine and serotonin. It rewires the brain by boosting neurotransmitter production, regulating stress hormones, restructuring cognitive process. I want to tell you my journey of being okay living in a land that I felt like I didn't choose, and it wasn't Latin America. But I got to experience way more than I would have if I would have just planned it my own way. But one of the biggest changes, one day I'm driving in Reading, and mind you, remember I'd had these 3-month cycles where I actually had to pick myself off the floor, or maybe Eric would have to pick me up and be like, what are we doing here? And I'm driving in the car one day and I look at the sky and I go, wow, God, the clouds here are really beautiful. And I know that sounds really simple, but something began to change inside of me because I wasn't aware of what I didn't have. I started to be aware of who he is in that land and in that place. It is huge. And I can tell you, 1 year, I probably did a couple cycles, three cycles, but it never happened after that. I lived there for 17 more years after that. And everything changed when I just learned to be thankful for who he was in the land and what he was providing. He is so good. And I want to encourage us to lean in closer. I only know him as a faithful provider, even if we don't understand. Even if you're like, gosh, I didn't think it was going to turn out like this. Don't worry, you're not done. It's not over. We can trust him. He is faithful.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.